All right, Proverbs chapter 15. I hope this message is as convicting to you as it was to me. Whenever I preach, I just try to share whatever the Lord convicts me with. And you know, the scary thing about preaching in your home church is that people know you, and they've known you since you were really little. So I think I saw Mrs. Van Wormer back there, and Mrs. Gomez is right there. Mrs. Caro's right there, and they were all with me in school. So don't discredit the message, all right, just because you know how bad I was in school. I'm preaching from the Bible, so it's the Bible's words, not mine. So don't discredit the message because of how bad I was in school, all right? We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 13, and then we're going to pray. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day of giving us today and the opportunity to be in your house and open your word, Lord. I just pray that you would bless this message, and Lord, that you would use it, and Lord, that we would learn something from your word tonight, and that it would be a blessing. Please help me as I preach. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. All right, so I just have some things that I've written down for most of the verses in this passage. So for verse number 1, I'm going to read it again. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Excuse me. We see in verse 1 that a wise man diffuses a heated situation with soft words. He doesn't try to come back with the best snarky comment or say what is comfortable, but he's wise with his words, and he chooses his words carefully. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. And I think oftentimes it's hard for us to choose to say the soft answer. Oftentimes the most comfortable answer is the thing that we shouldn't say, or the thing that might offend someone. We're going to go over to 1 Kings chapter 12. And we're going to look at a man who should have used a soft answer. 1 Kings chapter 12. Let's see here. 1 Kings chapter 12, 13 through 16. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. This is talking about Jeroboam. And spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. So we see in these verses that Jeroboam chooses to take the counsel of the young men. He forsakes the counsel of his elders, of the men who were wise, of the men who were in a position to give him counsel, because I'm assuming he was a young king, so he had men in position to give him counsel. But what he does is he disregards their counsel and listens to the counsel of the young men, of his friends and his buddies. And so I kind of like reading his answer because it's fun to listen to, and it's just kind of funny, frankly. But it's not the right answer, right? We know what happens after he tells the people that he's going to make it harder for them. He splits the kingdom, and so we see that we know that the Lord had given him the answer. The Lord wanted the kingdom to be split, and told him to say that, but he wasn't walking in the Spirit when he was talking about that. So back to Proverbs chapter 15, we're going to look at verse number 2 now. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word aright means correctly or without mistake. And it says that the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. And sometimes we say something that might be true, and so we think we have the right to say it, but it's not the right time to say it. You know, the tongue of the wise person knows exactly what is right to say. Or should I say, he's led by the Spirit and is led by the Spirit in what is right to say. A wise person knows when to speak and when not to. The last part of the verse says, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And when the Bible talks about the fool, he talks about someone who's always talking. And they just can't control themselves. They have no filter. Just whatever they think comes out of their mouth. And that's what the Bible describes as someone who's foolish, right? And so the opposite of that, someone who's wise, is someone who has control over their mouth. They don't just say the first thing that comes into their mind, right? They're led by the Spirit, and they have control over what they say. And, you know, oftentimes, looking back on this, you know, I've said many things where I wasn't led by the Spirit, and I just said the first thing that came to my mind. And later on, the Lord says, hey, you shouldn't have said that. You weren't being led by the Spirit. We are going to go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse number 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Whenever I read that, I feel like God wrote that to talk to me. I feel like he wrote that to burn me sometimes. Because how often have I just said something without thinking about the consequences? Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. I think of the quote that says, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt. We don't know who said that quote. Some people say it was Abraham Lincoln. We don't really know who said that. But really, the thought comes from the Word of God. Oftentimes we're caught and we're just talking the talk. And we're saying things, we're opening our mouth when we really shouldn't. And we should use our words to encourage others and to encourage others to read the Bible and to pray. And then we're going to go back to Proverbs 15, verse number 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. This is a convicting verse right here. Because it's telling us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, meaning he sees everything, and he beholds the evil and the good, meaning he sees the good and the bad things we do. And what that means is that God, he sees every conversation that we have, and he hears every word that comes out of our mouth. And I think if we remembered that fact, if we remembered that, we wouldn't say all the things we do say. We would be more careful about what we said if we really believed that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He sees how we talk to our siblings, to our parents, to our boss, to our spouse, to your kids, to your coworkers. The Lord is there, and he's seeing, he's watching what we say and what we do and how we act around others. And, you know, I'm convicted about the fact that every day we're around our lost coworkers, and we have a responsibility to share the gospel with them and to be Christ-like in everything we do. And a lot of times the Lord sees us when we don't act in a spirit-filled way. And when maybe we, in the way that we act, we're actually bringing people further from Christ instead of nearer to Christ. Verse number 4, and then I have verse number 7 lumped in with that one. So we're going to read 4 and 7. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. So it says that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, meaning that it brings health and life to others. And, you know, whether we think it or not, our words have a major effect on the people around us. And oftentimes we're too carefree with the way we're acting when we need to realize that, hey, my presence around my coworkers, around the people around me, has a bearing on whether or not they may or may not get saved. And a lot of times we don't think about that when we're at work or at the grocery store or at the bank or wherever we're at. We're not thinking about that fact. And I'm guilty of that just as much as anybody else. Our words and our presence have an effect on others. Do you have a positive effect on others? When you're at church, are you a joy to be around? Are you encouraging others to keep going when things are hard? Or maybe are we negative and bring others down by bringing up the things that are hard about life? We should be encouraging one another to keep going forward. That's what church is all about. It's not about just coming to church so we can hear a message necessarily, even though we do that and that's a good thing. But we have a responsibility to each other to encourage one another and to push each other to keep on going. How do you affect others? When I think of someone who affected others positively, I think of Barnabas. We're going to go over to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Verses 22 through 24. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. From my study, I found that Barnabas' real name wasn't Barnabas, but that was it was rather a nickname that the people had given him, meaning the son of consolation, or someone who encouraged others. So we know him by that name, as Barnabas. So we see that he was a man who was known for his encouraging other people. Let's see. Go back to Proverbs. Sorry, we're jumping around a lot. Proverbs 15, verse number 5. And we're going to read 5 through 10. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. What I have written down is that a wise person heeds the counsel of his father, his mother, and his elders, and a foolish man hates getting corrected. And oftentimes I can remember in school when I would get corrected about doing something wrong, and how bad my attitude could be at times. And you know, I wasn't being led by the Spirit. My attitude towards correction was showing that I had a heart problem, that I had things wrong in my life. And oftentimes, we don't respond to correction in the right way. And the Bible says that that's foolish. We also see that a wise person, he heeds the counsel of the wise people that God has put around him. And so in church, God has put wise people around us. He's given us people who are older than us, and they're there to give us counsel. So how do we respond to them correcting us, or how do we respond when they give us leadership? So that's what I'd like to encourage you with tonight. I'm going to have Brother Housley come up and I think close out the service.